Hello, listeners of CKUW. You're joining us for our second episode of Dialogues, Gravel Roads to City Lights. I'm Marianne Sorelli, one of the co-hosts, and we're sharing time on Friday mornings at 8 a.m. with the long-standing CKUW show, Wooden Spoons. And we really want to thank John Dick, who's joining us for tech support, and also the host of Wooden Spoons, Mary Jane Eason, who's been in this slot for many years on CKUW, and he's generously sharing it now with us. This show, Dialogue, City Roads to City Lights, is a conversation on the radio between people from rural and urban Manitoba on a variety of issues. The last show that we did, one of the topics that came up was our sense of community. And that really is the theme for this show. And we want to explore that with a couple of guests that we have. But I'm also joined by Kaylin Spain, who's the co-host of our dialogue show. And Kaylin is a mediator and works specifically in farm mediation and has had a number of other roles as well. And we have two guests with us today. The first is Leslie Kwok, who's with the Spence Neighborhood Association. And Leslie brings our urban perspective. And Leslie has been working at Spence Neighborhood Association for about 17 years. And she works in community economic development and has been with the youth programming there for many years, mentoring youth in pre-employment skills since 2008. And youth do a number of services in the community. They provide yard work and catering services, and they had a social enterprise that was offering catering services that I know and have used many times. She's also a graduate of the Community Development and Community Economic Development Program at Red River College, and she was born and raised in Winnipeg. She's the mother of two, grandmother of three, and we're really grateful to have Leslie here. Leslie, I'm wondering if you want to add anything to that introduction.
I could add that I live in the same area I work in, and I have done so since 2009. I like to be able to walk to work within a couple of blocks, and I find that living where I work has been very helpful in building trust within my youth, because I'm there and they know I'm their neighbor. And I really think that helps build community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Kaylin. How are you doing today?
All right. Yeah, I'm excited to be back here with the second episode with you, Marianne, and continuing this journey that we're on and in doing this just introducing this new concept really on CKUW around dialogues between rural and urban folks. And so excited to be co-hosting this show with you, and I love that we are like just evolving this show as we go, and we kind of take ideas from our guests. And so last time we talked about biases and assumptions that are made by rural and urban folks. And so, as you were saying, Marianne, you know, what came out of that discussion was, how do we build community? And so naturally, I'm actually from Winnipeg, but, you know, I live near Arburg now. And so naturally, I thought about the ag societies right away. And so I'm really excited that the executive director of the Manitoba Association of Agricultural Societies, Dale Bueller, is here with us today. And so reached out to Dale and was just lovely. We were sure that being Manitoba, we had, you know, ran into each other at some point in person. And so, but once I read Dale's bio too, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is just like rural Manitoba volunteerism, you know, in a nutshell, really. And so, you know, Dale has been involved primarily with the Valley Ag Society, which is located in Morris. So Dale's based in Emerson, but so as many of people know in Manitoba, you know, the Morris is well known for the Manitoba Stampede and exhibition. And so Dale's been working there to kind of build up the events that are going on there and can speak to some of those things. Hopefully today we'll hear. So some of the examples of the new events at the fair include stock dog trials, rodeo games for kids, and even a carnival. So the committee that Dale works with is even partnered with Roseau River Anishinaabe First Nation and Long Plains First Nation to weave Indigenous culture aspects into the event as well. And Dale grew up in a small community in Quebec and enjoyed many small town fairs as a kid. So welcome, Dale, to the program. Is there anything that you'd like to add to your bio?
Well, thank you. I'm very excited to share stories today and conversation with living rural and in the capacity now as the executive director for the Manitoba Association of Agricultural Societies, which is known as MASS. This is a new role for myself, started in February, but I, as you've read, I've been volunteering with the Ag Societies, the Valley Ag Society, and in the fair capacity, which has been fun because that's the part where people get to interact and enjoy what you've put together. So, and ideas, like you say, share ideas. And I've gotten ideas from listening to people who've come to the grounds there. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Thanks, Dale.
Thanks so much, Dale, for joining us. And we wanted to kind of start off exploring this idea of a sense of community and what that means. So I want to just maybe start off with you, Dale. What would you say to explain what having a sense of community means to you?
The sense of community that I value is most is connection and support. That has been a key of having lived in one part of Canada, and I've moved around within Canada as a registered nurse and going into different communities, and that value that community brings when there's connection and support for each other.
Hmm. And when you say connection, do you want to talk a little bit more about what that means to you?
Well, it's finding what values and what interests people have, and then how they share their stories or their community with you when you move there. So okay. Yeah, that was a big one for me, is the sharing and getting to know people that you when you move into their community, into their space, and become part of their community.
Interesting. What about you, Leslie? When you think of a sense of community, what does that mean to you? And you can respond to what Dale is saying as well, if you like.
Certainly. I'm working in more downtown Winnipeg Spence neighborhood, and I believe that my sense of community is safety and resources. So safety, by that I mean I moved to a street nearby to my work that had school, and I knew there'd be lots of families and children, and I knew that it would be safer in an area where there were families and children, and some of these youth that I work with live on my street. So I feel safer. And then resources, a sense of community is that there are so many resources folks, and I found over the years that community loves to share resources with others. And they often attend the same programming because they've shared resources with friends and family participants that meet at community events.
So Dale was saying it was about connection and support, and you're saying it's about safety, and it sounds like that's very connected, especially when you talk about sharing resources can be a kind of support. But I'm curious, yeah. What are the kinds of resources that you are talking about in this?
Well, for example, programs which benefit all families, so young parents programs, seniors programs, which are very important for the senior course, and young adult programs, employment programs, any kind of program where folks can go and feel a part of their community and they can enjoy themselves and get to know other people.
Okay. So do you think that there's a difference in the way that rural and urban folks experience community, or a difference in their sense of community? Who wants to answer that first?
I will. I believe there is a difference in that our communities here, I can only speak for my neighborhood, there's more transients. So people are moving way more than I believe folks in the country are moving. And so it's a lot harder for folks to get to know each other. Sometimes you're always meeting new people and building new relationships. So it's an ongoing type of community building that we do here in the neighborhood.
So one of the things would be that affects a sense of community, and the ability to have that sense of community is transience. But when I think of it, I mean, there are a lot of rural people that are coming to larger urban centers. That's sort of a demographic trend. So Dale, I'm not sure how you see that and how you see the sense of community in rural and urban areas.
Well, it's kind of in our small community, we notice a lot of transition too, and changing of population, specifically, you know, people are aging and they change their where they live, or they people are just, communities are getting smaller. Some are not. I can't speak to all, but I know for Emerson that it seems smaller, and it's starting to leap over that younger people are moving in with families. So the world is definitely, like, in a whole changing in the sense that there's a lot more transition. People move around. And excuse me a second.
I would definitely echo that. Yeah, I know what it's like to have kids around when I'm trying to do. I would definitely echo what Dale was saying too, in terms of what we see in rural Manitoba, is that, you know, people are still, there's still quite a bit of movement, even though what you said, Leslie, I think is really reflective that like the difference between urban and rural is that in rural areas, there are people who have like been living there for longer periods of time, it seems like overall. But it is interesting to see, like, you know, as Dale's saying, there's actually quite a bit of movement in smaller towns where people are aging out, and then maybe there's not appropriate housing there in rural areas. And, but then also young folks, like in my generation, like I'm mid 30s and like I have two kids, and there's like a lot of young people who actually want to live in rural Manitoba. Like it's kind of interesting. So that the way that community is built is like, it can be shifting and changing, and you're kind of constantly getting to know your neighbors in a way. So it totally, it's like there are differences, and then they're like, yeah. Anything you wanted to add more to that, Dale? Do you see young people in your communities? I just want to make sure, Dale, that you're, yeah, just start again. And sorry, one more time, Dale, just try again.
There we
She's
go.
She's on mute.
There we go.
Yeah.
I was hitting the wrong side. Certainly that families are moving back in that grew up in the area and moved back in with their families. But there's also economically housing is a little bit more affordable. So that's a draw for some people coming back to the community and finding value in a smaller community, but also struggling with the fact that it is smaller, that there isn't as much options of things to happen, especially if there isn't recreational programming or regular areas to meet up, because smaller communities have smaller spaces, so they're not always open, unlike our world around us is 20 almost, you can say 24/7 at times. When you go into the city, you know what you're going to see, where the rural it is quieter. There's more of that kind of challenge, though. I mean, some people, that's a draw.
Yeah, that definitely was a draw for me when I wanted to move out of the city. I was thinking, I had this romantic idea of like, oh, it's so quiet in the country, and it's quiet in different ways, but then you're, in a way, you're also a little bit isolated. So kind of leads into our next, discussion on like, we're so curious to hear from both of you on, you know, like how important is it that people know their neighbors? And I mean, part of it is like there are some risks in knowing your neighbors. But I guess, Leslie, I'll start with you. I mean, how important do you think it is for people to know their neighbors?
I think it's extremely important. The apartment I moved into, they have a neighborhood watch going, and that makes me feel a lot safer. It's extremely important in times of trouble, if you need companionship, to keep your children safe. Fosters a sense of community, reduces feelings of isolation and anxiety, improves overall well-being and health, I believe. And I think it can also increase emergency preparedness and provide a sense of collective security. For example, we had no running water one day, and the neighbors were helping to haul water for me up to the second floor. Like, just awesome to have that safety net. And to, for my well-being, and I'm sure for everyone in a close-knit community, having good neighbors by your side is vital.
Yeah, people who are there for you, really, and like you're saying, a sense of safety and almost like a collective sense of safety or well-being for those who know their neighbors. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
How about you, Dale?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, that's what how I view neighborhoods and helping as a whole, like you and your. You've got that connection in a community, and there. And then I have ourselves who live outside of town, and we live on a farm, or an acreage. So we don't have close neighbors, but people do check in on you. So, I mean, you're not, if there's something you need, you know, they're aware, and the community is connected within, like, because of my work in the community, I got connected that way, where other people are connected through their churches or schools, And that's when I moved in other communities, that's where I enjoyed, was getting to know the new community members as a parent to a child. And that made a big difference and felt supported. The risks are always there, that you might not make the greatest ones. And but you kind of go with that. Hang on a sec.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know, Leslie, would you say there's like risks associated with knowing your neighbors in the city? Like, is that something that you've experienced or maybe seen through your work with Spence Neighborhood Association? Is like, I don't know, because it's like we Mary and I were talking about it, and like, you know, there we can think about some, but I'm just wondering from your perspective, do you think there's a risks?
Sure, there are some risks. In my experience, there could be some conflicts, neighbors, noise issues, dogs, politics, because Winnipeg love to put our political lines on our lawns so that people know who we're voting for. And also, like, dating your neighbor or working with someone who is your neighbor, that has happened to me. And having someone live close to me who has fallen out of favor at work and whom I still have to see quite often as I walk back and forth to work. Perhaps some privacy issues as well. Yes, I'm sure there are many risks.
Yeah. We want to get into talking a little bit more about like local gossip and that sort of thing in a little bit. But yeah, did you want to respond to any of that, Dale? If you wanted to respond to what you
were saying. Yeah. And I think that's across the board from growing up where I grew up, where it was neighbors were, you kept my parents raised us that you kept a friendly distance because you didn't want to get drawn into it. But then when you developed relationships, there was always that, as any relationship is, it goes up and down. But in a community where people do know you and you have to be able to be able to be confident in what you're doing in your life. So people, when you hear something you don't like, you're able to not be burdened by it. Because a lot of people carry a lot of burdens what I've noticed in smaller communities about what people say about themselves or say about them and their families, because they know them so well. Like in moving here, I've never worked with somebody who worked for 30 years in one job in one place, lived and grew and knew and went to school with people that they knew in generations. So that really, it was impressive for me to be able to have that kind of length of time in a community where you've known each other, you've known their parents, their grandparents. They've been involved in the community in a government way, or they've been like as a counseling in that, or a teacher in the community. Like we had a little bit of that growing up, but I left that. So, I mean, it was like, that was something living here. I've appreciated and how they do work together through those burdens of knowing everything about yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can definitely relate to that, Dale. I mean, I haven't lived in Aarberg for that long, but I've been here for a year now. And I think at first it was really, it was tough. I didn't really know how to navigate it necessarily. And I mean, because we have kids, definitely helped to make some connections, or because my partner grew up here, you know, he has some friends who have decided to raise their kids in this area, stay in this area, or come back to this area, continue to raise their families here. You know, go to hockey practice and that sort of thing. And it definitely helps when you have kids, you can kind of get to know people a little bit easier that way. But I do have to admit that as a new person in the community, I really needed to like navigate that carefully, because everyone kind of knows everyone. And so it's just one of those things where I was like, okay, I'm just going to give this time, knowing that this will be my community for the long term. I'm going to give this some time, going to slow down and take my time with getting to know people. So, yeah, I'm curious, like, about, like, Leslie, do you see, you know, it's a stereotype, I think, of rural areas for everyone to sort of know your business, but do you think, like, that, does that exist, like, where you work and live, and do you see that at all? You know, there's this, I don't know, it's kind of like the, we talked about the benefits and some of the risks of knowing your neighbors too well, but just wondering if you see that at all.
About the rumor mill, sorry?
So I'm wondering if you see, you know, like the room, like, do you see a type of like rumor mill happening in your neighborhood that it would be similar to, it feels like maybe people know, you know, have know everything about you. I think because people in, you know, Winnipeg are living closer together, then they're going to be able to, like, they're going to be seeing each other's lives a little bit more. But I'm just wondering if you could speak to what you're seeing in terms of the rumor mill in your area.
Well, it depends where we are. If we're at my work, the rumor mill is definitely alive and well. I just stay out of that as much as possible. But I think on a whole, it's less visible only because of going back to the transience that we experience in my neighborhood. So it's a bit of a smaller lens, and folks can just move away if they feel like their reputation has been compromised. They can just move. Rural, I believe it's way more visible, and I think they're way more vulnerable to gossip and increased scrutiny, judgment, and potential social exclusion. Now, I could be wrong, Gail. What do you think?
Well, I think that pretty much transcends any community, whether rural or urban, that you get into a niche of people, and that, they're the burden of and trying to keep that. Conversation watched. Respectful and yeah, exactly, like just not be taken in, and I think that's a key to a healthy community, is people who can feel they can share something and it not be taken from them as not important or judged, because that's a big word. And like I said, this rurally, you just, because there's so many layers of family and time and relationships, that because there's like this community and the community where I one of the other community I lived in that was exactly like that. It was just people were so connected and had other agendas. That drove some of their conversations and increased the risk of that in a relationship or in a community that would change something.
All right, we're just gonna stop for a song break here now. This is Glory Bound by Wailing Jennies.
I will lay my
You're listening to Dialogues on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. The time is 8:32 a.m. and the temperature outside is minus 8 degrees Celsius.
It's interesting listening to, because you both have given such a great promotion of why it's wonderful to know your neighbors, all of the benefits from knowing your neighbors. But then on the other hand, there are these potential downsides that come from gossip and conflict. And it's interesting to think about how the close proximity in an urban area, contributes to that in terms of you have less privacy on a day-to-day basis. But in a rural area where there's fewer people, people tend to know more about each other, I think, because of, even though they live farther apart on acreages or on farms. So this is kind of what we really wanted to get into with this conversation, and to look at that a little bit more about then what is it that we can gain from, I'm actually working on a project right now that comes from Nova Scotia called the Good Neighbor Builder Society. And it's all about building trust between neighbors. And the idea that we want to have a culture where it's normal for neighbors to know each other, to support each other, and even care about each other. And that has all these health benefits and social benefits like you've described. But what is it that really builds that? Like, what builds that trust and that relationship between people that you live next to or near? And like you were saying, Dale, that, someone's going to check in on you, that you're going to have, people aren't going to be so isolated, that there's not going to be someone noticing if they're, you're not around, or there's something, unusual happening. So I'm curious, maybe start with you, Dale, about what really builds that positive side of knowing your neighbors and having that sense of community?
I think comes from just the honesty of who you are, that you are approachable. But again, it also with a group that you connect with, not everyone, you're not going to connect with everyone. And that is something that you're not going to push away that person or people that you don't connect with, but you're going to pull in closer the people that you do connect with that have the same values and willingness to share. Because you have to feel, again, that go back to the first word that was said by Leslie, is feeling safe. Because you have to feel safe with who you invite closer to you in a community. When I was preparing for this, I was thinking about community, because I have the community that I am building with the agricultural societies. Identifying who I am and in my role and what I can do for them, because they're same idea. They need to have that knowledge first of who you are and what you want or what you're going to do in your role. And the same thing in a community, what your role is in the community, even at the smaller town or small area. And then where you're, and I could get my going on how to just create that value for the what you want to have around you, because some people, and create boundaries. I mean, that's the biggest thing, and it's just keeping creating the safe boundaries for yourself.
Thanks, Dale. How would you respond to Dale, Leslie, and to that?
Okay, could you read the question?
Well, just what is it that builds that sense of community and the willingness to know your neighbors? And even, Dale has talked a little bit about everyone's not going to connect with everybody and kind of, but when you have neighbors, they may have different politics than you or different religion and different cultures, but they're going to be your next door neighbors or your closest neighbor. So how do you build that trusting relationship that is not too nosy or close, but is also connected enough that you feel like your neighbors?
Well, I think, first of all, you need to, like Dale said, find your boundaries. And you need to create a space for people to approach you, or a safe space. And you need to create a sense of belonging with your neighbors, and show that you're interested in them and you're invested in getting to them. Offer to help, be available, volunteer, be accountable, because trust is built on being accountable. Maybe start a new club of some sort, gardening, have a discussion with the neighbor what they're interested in, and okay, maybe we can start a gardening club, or we can just build a little garden in the back, or we can share skills with each other. So maybe you don't know how to fix your oven. Maybe I do, for example, and I can help you. So just to be a good neighbor, to know when to stack and out of the way and your own is helpful as well.
Okay, that, and it sounds like you might have some good examples of that. Hey, Kaylin. Pardon?
Of which part? Stepping back, minding your own?
Minding your own business, knowing when. But just, you know, to be able to notice when you can offer to help, or to share, you know, like you were talking about sharing a skill, or you know, I've had neighbors that really don't take care of their yard very well. And even right now, like they're in our back lane, the garbage trucks are driving into the yard. And, you know, I don't even know if that bothers them. For example, the garbage trucks are cutting into their yard and just making a mess. And I don't know. So different examples like that.
Yeah, you could, you know, if you have stories that you want to share with us, you know, it could be good, bad, or ugly. if you could think of stories, Dale, if you want to start to, share with our audience.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I said so many real neighbor, like growing up in our neighborhood when I was younger, and in a small community that was bilingual, and you had and the kids would play, we would all play together, and you would have one of our older neighbors that didn't have children recollected that even though we didn't speak each other's languages, we figured a way to communicate. And she said she so enjoyed watching that as kids growing up, that we would just play, didn't matter language, and have fun. And it was an innocent, you know, an innocence that I treasure now as I'm grown up, and meeting and getting to know people in communities. So yeah, that's something I share. I think of, and running around that neighborhood freely amongst all our neighbors, being able to go to their doors and play trick or treat in the middle of summer just for fun, you know. And you kind of, I treasure that, and I'm always looking for that myself as I have had my children and have my grandchildren now. So yeah, hoping that can continue in a good way of being a neighbor in a community.
I love that story. That's so great. I mean, yeah, literally bilingual, speaking different languages, but figuring out kids have a way to figure out how to speak to each other.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. What about you, Leslie?
Well, I think the one that stands out the most is, one day I was out shoveling snow with two of my youth workers, and I was in a Pegsy Car co-op van, and suddenly in the back with the kids, because that's how I build trust with my youth, is to work them, not just direct them and walk away. So we're shoveling away. One of my youth says, Leslie, I think someone's in the van, because I didn't look at the van. So I looked, and this woman had my purse and was running down the street with it. And I called after, please just throw me my keys, because that's all I really care about is my keys. But imagine, like, so many years of work, over 40 keys on my keychain. I'm like, no. So anyways, I got a youth home. They also had the key to the van, the Peg City car van. But luckily, my cell phone was underneath a bunch of paperwork, and in there was my debit, my license, my everything. So I got the key home, was able to drive home. My neighbor came up because she saw her upset, and she said, what's wrong? And I told her, and she's like, come have a cup of tea, sit down, let's call your credit cards. They did have my work credit card. Ugh. So she's like, sit down, have a cup of tea, let's do this. Let's, you know, she's like, let's take the Peggy car back to the station. She's like, okay, I'll come with you and drive you back home. That was just amazing to me, because I thought I'd have to walk back home. And then, of course, it was Sunday, and I had to call a locksmith to get me back into my house. So being a Sunday, I had to wait for hours and hours. And her mom, two separate neighbors, fought over who's going to be dinner that night. We waited for the locksmith to come and gave me slippers to wear and sat me down and talked to me. And just amazing that they were there for me. And I'll never forget that.
That's really beautiful. I love that, Leslie. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
I like that they're fighting over who's going to make you suffer.
Who's going to make you dinner?
Yeah. Making it all.
I mean, that reminds me of some Ukrainian ladies here. They're making pierogies all the time in this Ukrainian community, and they're just like trying to out-food each other. Like, how much more food can you make? It's gets a little out of control.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's just almost like recently we had our fall supper, and gosh, they had such a going event going with people bringing in what they've cooked, and then there was the fire department was cutting up the carving the turkeys, and then sitting down and having a meal. It's like that was nice.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Leslie, that you lost your purse. I thought there was going to be a happy ending where somehow a neighbor brought it back to you. But it sounds like the happy ending was that you really got support from your neighbors. And
yes,
that sense of you weren't dealing with it alone. That's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, just to kind of wrap up, we want to give a chance to maybe share some ideas of what you can draw from how people build a sense of community in rural or urban areas based on your experience. So I'm not sure, Dale, if you want to start off.
Yeah. Like I said, for myself, for the community and building and keeping building is much basically what we've been talking about, is just being there, volunteering. That has created for me the best way to be part of a community, that and to not isolate yourself. So and isolation does sometimes is good, but too much, like anything, if there's too much on the other extreme, is not a way to live. So I mean, it's building that, be that person that is going to help another person build themselves up into a community. I think that probably would better respond to what you know, for building and keeping communities healthy. Just the fact that it's much more easy to escape to other areas with social media, with gaming. And, you know, it's not, again, it's good to have an activity, but not to be so entrenched in it that you push yourself away from people in your community and your neighborhood.
That idea that,
You
know, you can feel like you belong even though, and that you're welcome even though that you're different and you're not trying to just, you know, be the same, which is often impossible, you know, in a diverse community, especially like in an urban downtown like in Spence, where there is such diversity. Leslie, so the you know, ideas that you would share that would be helpful in building that sense of community.
I believe that we need to visit the lemonade stand. The kids on the corner who are trying to be entrepreneurs and make some money. I think we need to share resources and have a little bit more compassion for people of all nations and of all cultures, and to share those stories of different cultures. And I don't know, assist each other. Urban and rural can assist each other. For example, train the trainer that rural could come and teach us something we could teach our people, and vice versa. So how to use naloxone kits, or how to assist the suicide program for folks. Or just recently, youth asked me for WENDO, which is a women's self-defense course. So sharing resources, I believe, is very important. And visiting each other. The air in rural Manitoba, to me, is just so beautiful and fresh and clean and gorgeous. So I have no qualms visiting all over Manitoba as often as I can.
You're not afraid to cross that perimeter.
Oh no, not at all. I love traveling in Manitoba.
That's the running. Some people are not too bad, and other people there's afraid. And I laugh because some people I talk to, and they go, well, I have no problem going down to Grand Forks. So I say, you drive right through Emerson, or used to anyway.
Yes. So many beautiful rural areas to explore. I've had so many good memories of visiting all over Manitoba that I would love to do it again next summer. Every summer I get out somewhere and find a new area I haven't been to before. And so much fun. I love it.
And I'll just enhance that community engagement through going to Ag Society events. And even within Winnipeg, there is the St. Vitale Agricultural Society, which hosts what they call a home craft fair. And it's just absolutely beautiful. So, there's Ag Societies are everywhere. And
is that every year, Dale? Like that they
every year. Yeah, every year they have it usually in August, I believe. But we have our thing. I'll send you the connection for the mass, which has all the fair dates. Manitoba Travel helps us. So I can't implore that a way to see a rural community is when they're hosting their fairs.
Put that in our, we'll put that in our show notes, like our resources. Yes. We have an Instagram page now. It's dialogues_MB. And so trying to put everything there for our listeners who want to keep following along and learn more about our guests and what they're up to. And Leslie, is there anything that you wanted to share as well as far as upcoming events or anything like that that you want to share, or you can send it to us afterwards as well.
Well, every second Tuesday of the month, we have what's called a community connecting event. So come to the community center. We have dinner, door prizes, and then we have guest speakers. Usually it's informative, telling folks about each program and what we do and how we can help them and what we offer.
And that's every other Tuesday, you said?
Every second Tuesday of the month.
Great. And that would be at the Magnus Eliason Community Center.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Those are both some good calls to action for our audience that has been listening. So you've been listening to Dialogues, Gravel Roads to City Lights. Our guests have been Dale Bueller, who's the Executive Director of the Manitoba Association of Agricultural Societies, and Leslie Guak, who is, your title is slipping my mind, of course. You work for Spence Neighborhood Association, but you're the Youth Employment Coordinator. So Leslie and Dale, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate this conversation. And I love the dialogue that was happening between the two of you. So thank you so much for your time today. We really, really appreciate having you here with us.
And myself here on CKUW, I'm going to give a little bit more information about some of those events. So the Spence Neighborhood Association hosts the Community Connector Night at the Magnus Eliason Recreation Center on Langside every second Tuesday. And the other big event that's coming up for people that are interested in community development and community economic development is the annual Light Blueberry Pancake Breakfast, which is November 28th at the Ukrainian Labor Temple at 591 Pritchard, starting at 8 a.m. on November 28th. And the other event that is supported by the Ag Society is the Christmas Lights at the X Grounds. That's one of the other things that was brought to our attention. And we are going to have our next show, Dialogues, Gravel Roads to City Lights, on December 12th at 8 a.m. here on CKUW. And we've been talking this show about what creates our sense of community and what is a sense of community. And to me, it's really about not just thinking of yourself, about thinking about other people, even outside of your family, in the community, and sort of thinking about the community as a whole. But we're really interested in hearing from you what you think about in terms of the sense of community that we need, and what builds that, what helps us. What is some of the stories you have about getting to know your neighbors? So, Kaylin, if you want to talk a little bit more about our Instagram and where they can find out about some of the other events we've been talking about.
For sure. Hi, good morning. I'm Kaylin Spain, co-host of the show, and wanted to give just an update that we are working on our Instagram page. So there's going to be a summary of all of the past shows there, where you're going to be able to see our guests, and then we'll have links to the actual recordings as well from each of the shows that we do. And as Marianne said, next time we're going to be exploring, you know, what does community mean a little bit further, and how we get into, you know, building connections in our communities, both rural and urban. And so we'd love to hear from you. If you want to connect with us, you can follow us on Instagram. The handle is dialogues_MB, and you can message us there. You can send us a direct message if you want. I wonder about an email as well, Marianne.
We are thinking about our next shows, the topics for our next shows. We also will be doing a show on Boxing Day. at 8 a.m., which is kind of a unique time. And for those shows, we might actually get into us talking about some of the ways that we can engage with neighbors that are constructive, and how to raise problems in a constructive way. So we're really interested in, you know, any feedback that people have about our show so far. And I think for the last few minutes, we can maybe have the Wailing Jenny sing us out. And we'll look forward to our next time together on December 12th. Yeah, the next program up is the syndicated Democracy Now! Here on CKUW. So stay tuned for that with Amy Goodman. And we'll look forward to talking with you next time.
This has been Dialogues, Gravel Roads to City Lights on CKUW 95.9 FM, broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Dialogues is broadcast every Friday mornings at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about today's program, please send your feedback or ideas to the show or...